Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we had a little bit of technical difficulties to start out the show last Monday night, and then we had a semi-emergency go on with our producer, so he had to leave, and we got all that worked out, and we're ready to have another great show here tonight for everybody. Our guest that we had lined up last week was gracious enough to come back and join us this Monday night. We want to take the opportunity to welcome Tony Houseman to Stars Radio. Welcome to Stars, Tony.
Thank y'all, buddy. It's my pleasure to do this.
Well, it's definitely our pleasure to have you on here. It means a lot for you to take some time out of your busy schedule, getting race cars ready and everything, to come and join us here. Tony, for our listeners that might not be familiar with Tony Houseman and his racing background, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in racing, a little bit right. about what you've done in racing, and bring us up to the 2017 season?
Well, I started out when I was younger racing go-karts. Family let me do it, and we moved to cars, and we started out on top, you know, running top five everywhere, and then I ventured out on my own and went to winter races driving for myself, running dirt, and picked up a few rides off and on over the years. I took a few breaks when my kid was born. I even ventured to Wisconsin and got stuff up there that's winning races. I moved back to Virginia 2016. We've been steadily winning races in other divisions and new cars and some street stock stuff. We've been competitive. I'd actually quit when my son quit racing, and my dad come on board and decided he wanted to go back racing. He's in bad health, and we bought the current car we got now, and I went plumb through it and updated it, and we've run 17 races, and we've won 12.
Well, that's a pretty good record.
Good adventure.
It sure is. Now you mentioned you moved back to Virginia, and you started out racing some go-karts. Were you racing go-karts there in the Virginia area?
More or less in North Carolina. We'd run at State Line in Stokesdale, North Carolina, Liberty, North Carolina, Coleridge. We went to Anard, South Carolina, and run some. I mean, we run at a place that's no longer open called 460 Speedway. We run yes, there. Sir? You know, well, we pretty much traveled around. We didn't run nowhere consistent.
I had the opportunity to run a few go-kart races myself up there in the Virginia area, southwestern Virginia area. There used to be a go-kart track up there. I think it was called Lizard Ridge. You ever heard of that place?
Yes, sir. I never did get to make it there.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to go up there and run some races and... that's where I run across someone that I consider a very good friend and someone who mentored me. I'd been racing go-karts, been around car racing, you know, my entire life. And met somebody at the go-kart track there that I think you may know. His son was just getting started in go-karts, and they were kind of a little bit lost on the go-kart scene. And I started giving them a few pointers and tips and kind of helping them out a little bit on the go-kart side, along with another friend that they had that was involved in some go-kart racing there. And they invited me to go over to their shop, and that was some folks from the Texas Hollow Gang. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think so. I'm not quite. It's been so long. I know so many people.
He drove a number 26 also.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be old Dickie Wilson family, would it?
That's exactly who it would be, so. You know, Dickie and Jim and Randy and Dwayne and, you know, Chucky, that whole group over there, they kind of took me under their wing and taught me a lot about late model stock racing, because I wasn't that familiar with that. I've been around racing, had my own four-cylinder car that I'd raced a little bit, and just had a blast hanging out there at Franklin County Speedway and going up to Pulaski and South Boston, and we went down to Wilkesboro and run race, Martinsville. Just great racing community up there in that area where you're from.
Yeah, it is. I remember Dickie and him when I was a kid growing up. I haven't talked to him in a really long time. The racing has really fell off up here, and it's forced people like me to have to travel long ways anymore to go race, minimum of 1 hour and 30 minutes, minimum.
I understand that, you know, that's where I live, that in Columbia here, there, it's 1.5 hours for me to go to Greenville Pickens, about 1 hour and 10 minutes to go to Florence, 1 hour and 45 minutes to go to Dillon, so that's kind of the way it is where I live at. But you've had an opportunity to go and race at a lot of different racetracks and pick up some wins and everything. Of the tracks that you've had an opportunity to go race at, Tony, what's been some of your favorites?
I really, really like South Boston. I'd never been there until this year. I missed practice, got late. I just started to set up at the car. And we started in the back, and it worked. I mean, we went straight to the front. We took the lead about 5 to go and just checked out on them. And the car worked really, really well. I love my Franklin Canyon when Langley Austin had it. Loved that place. We went back there at the end of 2016. We didn't start off good there. It's in my backyard. The first three races, we was in left field with the car we bought. And I finally just said, enough's enough. I'm going to take a shot at this. And I mirrored a setup from a buddy of mine that bought a previous car for me. And I mirrored that setup, and then I adjusted some paint on it. And it has really worked this car up. My first dirt win in 2013 was at 311. It was a CB Products race. Started 19th and won by straightaway. First time there with the car. I mean, I just enjoyed traveling. There's a few places like Caraway, and I haven't won at, but I've been right there every time I've been there, so just keep digging at it. We went to North Wilkesboro, the OSU car race I ever had there, and I had somebody else grab my car, and we blew it up going for 4th. It was the fastest car on the racetrack when the motor blew up.
Oh, wow. Well, what kind of car do you drive there, Tony?
I've got a 2012 Mitsubishi Eclipse single cam car that weighs 3,000 pounds, but it's fast. I mean, the motor's not been tampered with. I spend a lot of time before we go to race, 20, 30 hours a week on the car. I mean, I pretty much take it apart and put it back together and measure every piece. I check every strut. I check the spring to make sure the spring rates on the stock springs hadn't fell off. And I just measure everything every week to make sure ain't nothing moved, and I put it all back just like I want it.
Well, that's awesome there. You mentioned Franklin County being there in your backyard. Whereabouts up there in Southwest Virginia are you from?
I'm from Rocky Mount, Virginia, actually. About 15 minutes from the Speedway, actually.
Okay. I used to live up in that area myself. I lived in Boone's Mill. I'm sure you know where Boone's Mill's at.
Yes, sir, sure do. I drive through it periodically to get a run.
Yes, sir. I worked out of the Roanoke area. I was a Navy recruiter up there for about 4 years, 3.5 years. Loved that little place up there. Loved to get back up there and see some of my old friends up there in that area. But you said you started out in go-kart racing here. I want to backtrack here a little bit. What made you get into go-kart racing? Did you have a friend that was doing it, or how did you find out about the go-kart racing?
I'd known about go-karts for years and years and years, and my mom and my stepdad worked with some guys that had some, and for my birthday, I wanted to go racing. We borrowed a go-kart, and I got it ready, and I took it and run it, and I won the first 4 races I had with it, and then we went out and bought my own stuff and started racing that way.
Awesome. That's the way to get started. I mean, you know, a lot of racers has got their start in go-karts and worked their way up through the field. You run the front-wheel drive class. Have you had an opportunity to run any other car, any class of cars?
I started out on dirt. When I started on dirt, I went straight for pure stocks. And it was really competitive, won a bunch of races. We tore up a bunch of stuff. You know, we broke motors. I didn't have a whole lot of funding. You know, we'd break a motor and we'd go back with another motor and we'd win. And I mean, we had a lot of success at a little track up here called Oak Level. We enjoyed that. I got to do a dirt late model about 3 times, and that didn't really pan out too good. I tore up a bunch of stuff on it. The mini stock stuff, I run them, enjoyed them. Just a lot of the stuff has got out of hand on the pricing of the racing, so it kind of dulls you into having to run a class that you really don't want to run. It ain't nothing wrong with his front wheel drive class, but it's, and to be honest with you, that's even getting to where it's, you know, I got a 2012 Eclipse, and there's people building cars that's $12,000-$13,000 cars where it should be only about a $2,000 or $3,000 class.
You're exactly right, you know, and you know it's kind of disheartening when you see some of these $10,000 front wheel drive cars show up at the racetrack, because you know that's not what the intent of this front wheel drive class, you know, is. You know when this got started, it was called UCAR, and UCAR stood for You Can't Afford Racing. You know, it was truly a beginner level. It wasn't a career series for them by, you know, anyone. You know, this wasn't a series that you're supposed to be running 10 years after you start racing, still running this very same series here. Now, you know, I understand if you can't afford to move up and go to nothing else, you know, I understand that, but if you can afford to build a $10,000 front wheel drive car, you can afford to build something and move on up.
I agree with that 100%. We got lucky with the car that we bought. There were some people at Kingsport, Tennessee that had it, and they couldn't make the car work. And I bought the car, or we bought the car for $2,200, and we went to Tennessee to pick it up. And we brought it back. Like I said, I found a bunch of stuff, and I actually took time wrong with it, all in the geometry area. And when I fixed all that, it woke this car up, and it went from a last-place car to being a winner. I mean, and it's just all over just basic geometry. And realistically, we got $5,000 in it, counting all the parts, you know, that I bought to up, like, you know, like struts. And then we had to put an axle in after we wrecked it. Wheels, tires, you know, we got almost two sets of 790s. And we got street tires to run different places. So, you know, we really ain't got a whole lot of money in the car. But, you know, not everybody's going to be that lucky to be able to get a 2012 model car for that price.
That's right. You know. But you're doing something that you can afford, you know, and instead of struggling in an upper series. And, you know, that's fully understandable. Nothing at all wrong with that. I'm just glad that we have some people that's trying to continue to keep this front-wheel drive class the way it's supposed to be, and not go out there and, like we was talking about building these, you know, $10,000 cars and showing up at the racetrack. I remember, you know, I went to a track here a while back, and you know, I watched the first three in the front-wheel drive class, and, you know, I'm like, well, I guarantee each one of them guys got $5,000-$6,000 in just motor work out there, because, I mean, they were just flat rolling through it, you know. I mean, when, you know, you got three cars that's, you know, almost a full second and a half. I ain't talking about tenths. I'm talking about a second and a half faster than the rest of the field, and the rest of the field is pretty close. You know, you got issues, you know.
Yes, sir. I've been in that predicament. I was like that at Caraway. And I was like that at South Boston. We're not allowed to run at neither one of the two places no more. And it's nothing that I've done to the car. It's just that I've got something figured out with my setups that just makes the cars look like they got a ton of motor in. I mean, I got a 162-horse car that weighs 3,000 pounds. And usually where it goes, like South Boston, they run 22 flash to 2190, and I run a 1902 before they decided it's time for me to move up, and I was on what they wanted me to run. You know, it's not fair to a lot of the coming up and coming racers to have to race with somebody like me, where I've been racing and driving cars and go karts and got late model stock technology at my hand at any time to fool with a U car, because I understand so much about what the cars do that it's not even funny. I've, you know, just studied it and studied and studied and studied, and I work on trying to find new ways to find more speed, and a lot of times it gets expensive when you start doing that.
You're exactly right, you know, and you know, you don't want to punish the guy that's went out there and done his homework. You know, that's fully understandable. You know, I mean, you went out there and you've done your research, you've done what you need to do to figure out what's got to be done to make your car fast. But you know, you're always going to have them complainers out there, Tony.
Oh, yes, sir. Trust me, I know. And I'm one of the first people in the world. You bring me your car, I will put my setup on it exactly like I would leave to go to the racetrack with it. and tell you, here, do this, this. If this don't work, do this and this, and it'll correct all your problems. And people think I'm lying to them, and I'll give them exactly what I run straight up off my car, because there's one element that no matter in the center department anybody gives you, there's one element you can't give them, and that's the person holding the steering wheel.
That's right. I agree with that 100%. And, you know, I've seen that so many times, Tony. You know, you see a race car, and the car may be struggling, and you let somebody else get in the car and go out and run some laps, even if it's just in practice, and watch the car pick up with nothing done to it other than changing, you know, that link between the steering wheel and the seat, and the car pick up, you know, half a second, you know. A lot of people just don't understand that. So,
yes, sir. I did that at Callaway. WJ Altizer bought one of my cars from 2013 that I built and won 21 out of 34 races with, and they went down with us. I got in his car and run 3/10 fast with him at that racetrack with their setup on it.
Wow, that's just fantastic there. Well, Tony, to be able to go to the racetrack, you got to have some people that help you out at the racetrack, some sponsors that help you out along the way. I'd like to give all our guests an opportunity to recognize those folks. So won't you take a moment and recognize some of the folks that don't get that well-deserved recognition they need?
Oh, yeah. My best friend in the world, Steve Teams, by far. The man, I'll call him up at midnight, and he'll come to the shop. We'll work on his car. I build his race cars for him, too. We work together. He's hit me for 4 years. Darlene Crockett and J.R. Griffith, which I went to school with both of them. They just now starting to hang around and go to racetracks and help me. Jay Altizer, WJ's daddy, helps me. Doubting Racing Products up here in Virginia. DRP Performance has helped me out with some stuff. Advanced Auto Parts has pitched in and given me some stuff. R&D Custom Detailing and Lawn Care in Rocky Mount. Ronald Campbell, he's given me a bunch of money to help with the car. I got to thank my mom and dad. If it wasn't for them, I'd never be where I'm at now. My kids for supporting me. Miles Denton at Denton Motorsports in Martinsville, Virginia. He's been spot on with some small little fine detail stuff to help my car out, as far as throttle response to some small stuff with like ground cables and some just little knick-knack penny-ante stuff that don't cost nothing. And if I got a problem, I can call him 24 hours a day and he'll pick his phone up and he'll give me some information. And we're going to take my technology, and I do build parts and I do also set up help myself, so Hausman Engineering for one. You know, if it wasn't for me doing all the work on several other cars, you know, I wouldn't be where we at today. And just a group effort. I mean, that's what it really is. Just a bunch of friends pitching in, we all having fun.
Well, Tony, you mentioned a name there that I hadn't heard in a while, and that's Doughton Racing Products. How's Mr. Jimmy doing?
Jimmy's doing good. He has actually turned the business over to Lenny, his son. And they're making a bunch of high-end race car parts.
Okay. Oh, awesome, awesome. Man, and, Lenny was just a little fellow when I left him up there. So, wow.
Lenny, I actually work for Lenny, and me and him talk about stuff, and I get this new idea, something I want to come up with. And I go in there, and I take him to draw into my design, and we sit down, and we see what we need to do, and we go in his junk scrap pile, and machine some parts out, and I take them back, and I try them. Before I sell them to anybody in the public.
Okay, awesome. Like I say, man, I remember them from back in my days. Miss Jimmy was always there. I know more than one time, man, go to pick up parts, and, you know, you have to tell Miss Jimmy, I really need this part, but, you know, I got to be able to race tonight to be able to pay you Monday. More than one time, he'd say, I know you're good for it. I know you're going to be there. And he'd go ahead and give you the part, and then you get your winnings on Saturday night, and you go by and pay him on Monday, and Mr. Jimmy was just as happy as he could be with that. So Jimmy Doughton, just a great man. Glad to hear that Lenny's took over the business now, and that the Doughton Racing Products are still striving.
Yes, sir, they sure are. They've been a whole lot of help, because we had a problem with the 790 early in the year. We blew two out within 15 laps, and I got a hold of Jimmy, and I took him the tires by. And we sat down for about 2.5 hours, and we figured out what was going on with the car.
Well, me and you need to talk a little bit about that then, so we'll do that off the air.
Yes, sir, no problem.
Find out a little bit about what was causing that issue there. So, well, Tony, again, you plan on going to Dillon Motor Speedway come January and run that race there. Also, I don't know when me and you talked the other day whether I told you there's a big race going to be at Greenville Pickens Speedway on February the 3rd, I believe it is, the first Saturday in February. And you're building a dirt car, man. So you're looking at a lot of racing to start off the 2018 season.
Yeah, actually, we're building two dirt cars, and I got a front-wheel drive car I'm getting ready to start on to finish it so I can sell it and get it out of my driveway if anybody's looking for one. I got a real nice 2001 Cougar I'm going to get rid of.
Okay. You say it was a Cougar?
Yes, sir. 2001 with the 2.0 ZTEC motor in it, five-speed car.
Okay. Awesome. I might know someone interested in that because he's definitely been looking for a Ford product. He's a 100% Ford man. He's been looking for some kind of Ford front-wheel drive car to race. So might have to talk to you a little bit about that. Looking forward to having an opportunity to meeting you down at Dillon, shaking hands down there with you. Can you tell us anything else you got planned for 2018?
So far, that's just it. We talked to a couple people about some late model stuff. Don't know where that's going to go. We're going to do the dirt thing for a little bit. We're going to try to run a few tour races with this car if it all gets situated where it can go. And we're going to do some traveling all over the South with it and see if we can't get back on top where it used to be.
Awesome. Well, I know working really hard to try to get that Southeastern Front Wheel Drive Series up and running. There's going to be some more news and announcements coming out with that here after the first of the year. So stay tuned and we'll keep you abreast of what's going on with that.
All right, no problem, sir.
Well, Tony, thank you for taking some time and joining us here tonight. Great to have you here, and make sure you come over and find us down at Dillon. We won't be hard to find down there. You just ask anybody down there where I'm at. They'll be able to find me and come over and shake hands, and we'll talk a little racing.
I sure will, but no problem. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Tony Hausman runs front-wheel drive class. I was building him a dirt car to go do some racing. Wants to do a little bit of traveling here in 2018. Looking forward to meeting Tony. He's a fine competitor up there out of the Southwestern Virginia area. Folks, it's time for us to get out of here tonight. As always, we appreciate everyone tuning in to Stars Radio. Next week, we're going to have a special guest with a special breaking announcement here on the show, and I'm not going to tell y'all who my guest is going to be. You're going to tune in next Monday night to find out who it is, but it's going to be an announcement that someone is coming out of retirement to do some racing in 2018. So you want to find out, and this is a guy who has about 75 wins under his belt. So you definitely want to tune in next Monday night and find out who we're talking about. Our military unit of the week is the 190th Air Refueling Wing out of the Kansas Air National Guard, which is out of Topeka, Kansas. You guys are our military unit of the week. Remember, if you'd like to be your military command, be our military unit of the week, send me an email at starsradioshow@yahoo.com. Again, that's starsradioshow@yahoo.com, and we'll make you our military unit of the week. Also, if you got a guest you'd like us to have, shoot me an email, catch me on Facebook. My phone number's out there, 843-680-6956. Hit me up, and we'll get whoever you'd like to have on the show as a guest. Until then, you got Patrick Reynolds and Speedway Report coming up at 7:30. You don't want to miss that. And then at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, you got Racing and Rocking with Bill, Barb, and John. And then tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, you got the Goat Rodeo with Jeff and Jack.
There lie some plots neath the sky, between the sea and the mountains ridged blue. In the Carolinas, there lie some plots neath the sky, between the sea and the mountains ridged blue. On those plots, women and men race for themselves and their friends.